Our scripture text is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 64 in verse 5 reads in part, "You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways." Let's place this verse in its context, beginning in verse 4. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved." Our scripture text is also set in the larger context of Isaiah chapter 64, which is a prayer that God display his power, and a petition for the Lord to show mercy upon his penitent people. Now, there is too much in all of these verses for this feeble head to break down within the time allotted, and so we are limiting our applications to verse 5a. First, rejoicing. Second, righteousness. Third, remembrance. And finally, fourth, we shall get to the heart of the matter, the heart of worship. We shall consider that our text says that God meets those who practice these spiritual disciplines. First, rejoicing. You meet him who rejoices. Rejoicing is not optional for the believer. The psalmist writes, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you." Who should rejoice? Those who put their trust in God. And we rejoice in the fact that he is the one who is trustworthy. "Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you." And again we read, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all of you upright in heart." And Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord." Some of the time? No, but always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, Paul wrote that last verse I just quoted you from his prison house. He was rejoicing in hope. And again, in Psalms, we read, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Somebody once asked me, "Is it a biblical prayer in God's will to pray for God's favor. And we have the answer here in our subtext, Psalm 30, verse 5. Certainly it is. But when you pray that prayer, first, be sure to set your heart aright before God. Though many of us are weighed down by many trials, know this, that our weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Jesus went through his darkest night, and he got through it. You know why? Because the resurrection would soon be at hand. Because there was victory on the other side of the grave. No matter what suffering is appointed for us in this life, God has appointed victory and resurrection life on the other side for all eternity. Has the Lord not promised, having eternal perspective, knowing that life with God is certainly awaiting, is what is going to get you through what you're going through in this season in your life. The second key word that I wish to focus on from our text is righteousness. And the phrase is found in "does righteousness." How do I do righteousness, you ask? The answer is, you don't. No one can do righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot do righteousness without Christ in the heart and in the life. Has he not said, without me, you can do nothing? The Bible says that man's best apart from God is like a bunch of filthy rags. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. If you are continuing in the ways of sin and have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are sin's servant and you need to be saved from your hopeless, destitute, and depraved condition. As we read in our context, we need to be saved. Now, I do not speak only of the more obvious and blatant cases of sin, but even more so, to the pride of man, the prideful, self-righteous cases. To any of you, and you know who you are, and you know what areas of your own life that you are to examine, who are ordering your lives and your conduct out of your own motives and not those of God. Our third point is the third key word taken from our text. Remembrance. Remembrance. Who remembers you in your ways? We are often exhorted in the Scriptures to remember God. How can we rejoice in the Lord if we are not remembering Him in our thoughts? How can we do righteousness if we are not doing things with right motives to God's glory? Because we are failing to consult His Word. And as the hymn says, to take it to the Lord in prayer. Has God forgotten you? I think not. If He loves you enough to die for you, He will not soon forget you. Now, the most beautiful thing in our text, that God meets those who remember Him in the spirit of rejoicing in righteousness as we remember Him. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. God is never the problem. God arises early in the morning and starts on His way out to meet you. The problem is that all too often we don't wake up and start out on our way to meet God. God showed up, but we went to the wrong address. Thankfully, though we are faithless many a time, He is faithful. For it is written, He cannot deny Himself. Another place where we will meet God is in the spiritual assembly. Divine fellowship is found in spiritual assemblies, such as this one. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, I'm not sure exactly where the Lord is sitting here this morning, but I know He's here. Maybe He's sitting next to you. This divine fellowship is available to all those who desire it. Jesus Christ, the living God, is always there for you. If you will resolve to do as David resolved. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Let us remember that God is there, that God is nearby, very, very nearby, even to your right. We read His truth, the truth that Isaiah speaks of Him, which says, you meet Him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. Now I pray that this scripture has prepared you in your heart, in your spirit, to come meet God right now at this appointed time of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that every day, early in the morning, even before we arise, You rise up to meet us. Lord God, we thank You for the gentle reminders that You have given us to come early and meet You in prayer. We thank You for the privilege of being able to come to Your house and receive that special blessing which is found in true spiritual assemblies. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in our mind's eye we will never cease to contemplate upon Your work. That You will be ever before us. And that the fact that You were nailed to a tree and that Your blood has been spilled for us is never forgotten. And that as we meet You, we come through He. Who lives with the nail prints in His hand, but who is dead and now is alive. Lord God, that every heart will trust now, saying, Lord God, I will trust in You. And going forth, according to the scriptures, confessing the same, speaking to others about the great work that You have done and continue to do in the lives of many. Lord, if there be any here who've never met You, that they simply come this morning and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, ascertaining that this is the one divine requirement to be saved from the wrath to come, and to find peace in the knowledge that heavenly glory will always await on the other side for everyone who believes. Knowing that though the sorrow may last for a night, that joy comes in the morning. Let us rejoice now in the victory of our Lord, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.